You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome to another installment of our occasional podcast called I Wish I Hadn't. I'm Dave Hill.
And I'm John Wyatt. As you can tell from our names, David and Jonathan, we were born in the 1950s, so we've had many years to accumulate embarrassing moments which we now feel happy to share.
The dictionary defines regret as a sorrowful remembrance, a sense of loss. But we're not in the business of sorrow and loss here. We're dealing with those things in life that we might wish had been otherwise, but which we're now prepared to own up to.
Today, we prove that we're not the only incompetents in the universe by inviting some guests to join us in revealing their own blush-inducing I wish I hadn't moments from the past.
Alan, Mandy and Lynn are friends of a similar vintage, whose experiences often mirror our own. Although we're joined by guests, we're missing our benevolent genie, who has taken some time off due to stress and overwork.
I should start off by telling you my I wish I hadn't from today. You know, when we were all looking around all the gift shops and all that sort of thing. And
this was something you did
this
today.
This was something I did today, yeah. Right. And you went to the loo and you came out and said, oh, I'm going to go into the loo.
Yeah.
Now. And I went in. And being cool, I put my sunglasses, you know, just over here, just strolling like this. And I went in.
You're just setting. And
I leant over to you know, in the not the urinal but the main toilet. I leant over to get some toilet paper, and my sunglasses fell straight down the toilet bowl.
Right. Classic.
And I thought, oh, well, that's okay because I'll just fish them out. And then I thought, oh, I've just followed someone in here.
So
I'm not quite sure about the state of this water in here. So when I'd been in there and finished, I came out and I not only washed my hands, I washed my sunglasses as well. And it's really weird when you're standing under the hand dryer, drying one hand and your sunglasses, and then swapping over to do the other hand then. And then
I wonder what that strange smell was actually after we'd been in the
museum. It made me giggle when I came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like the classics, though, isn't it? Where you splash water from washing your hands in an inappropriate place,
yes,
all over your trousers, which is bad enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you sort of try to use the hot air
dryer.
Yeah.
Standing under that, like some people are coming in while you're
And then somebody walks through the door as you're doing this.
Yeah,
it's like trying to heat up your groin
nicely.
Yeah.
Dear.
Not that that's ever happened.
No.
The one I thought of today was with the time that I dropped my trousers in a Tesco car park.
Fair enough.
Because I got out of the car, and as I got out of the car, closed the door, the belt snapped, and my trousers just fell down rather like a clown, in a crowded car park. So I had to hoik them up very quickly. And luckily, it was a Tesco car park, and it was a Tesco superstore where they sold belts. So I had to hobble around holding my trousers up until I could find a belt and buy it.
I hope you got your club car points for that.
Yeah, I think so. And a round of applause, I'm going to say, in the car park.
The last thing I wore my knickers once when I was at school, and we were standing in the queue going for lunch. And it just pinged. I was about five. Mm. It just pinged, and they just fell to the floor.
Oh.
And I just didn't know what to do. So I was holding them up like this with one hand, crying.
Oh.
Until the nuns came.
Until the nuns.
Well, we were talking about things like that. Instance,
yeah, probably.
I was on holiday in Ile de Ré.
Yes.
Weren't we, Dave?
Yeah, we were indeed. Yes. Yeah.
When my sister is there, my sister and I have a habit of making ourselves go absolutely hysterical. And she said, I can't find my glasses.
She did.
I've left my sunglasses. Where have I left my sunglasses? And it was a simple thing. I said, Mandy, they're on your head. Nothing funny about that, but we both went hysterical.
We had to
go into the car park where the car was, have the car doors open, and luckily we got a change of clothes in the car, and we had to change behind the door.
Yeah.
And while we were changing behind the door, Kate and Tom came past in their car.
Yeah.
And Mandy
was extremely concerned because there was a chap walking his dog not very far away, and she was worried that as he walked his dog, he'd look across and see her sans knickers.
So we wish we hadn't washed our dogs, basically.
It's like changing on the beach when you go for a swim. It's so difficult, isn't it? You're trying to wrap your towel around you and drop it.
I mean, we actually mentioned, didn't we, about when I was very young and my cousin Susan, I had to borrow her swimming costume, which is obviously a girl's swimming costume. And it was a knitted one, you know, like a ruched knitted one. And there's a photo of me coming out. I'll tell you where it was. You remember when West Bay Harbour had a little beach in the corner, which isn't there anymore now, is it?
No.
And that's where we were, and there's a photo of me coming out with this wonderfully ruched, knitted, basically girl's swimming costume, with a look on my face that basically says, I really don't want to be wearing this at the moment.
Yeah, well, that little beach also, there's a story associated with me on that, because my dad decided he was going to teach me to swim, and I suppose about 5 or 6. And for some reason, he thought that what he would do would be attach a belt around my middle, and tied to the belt were lots of tin cans, sealed on the top, like coffee tins or something.
Yeah.
He thought that these would contain enough air in them to act as a sort of a buoyancy belt. And I obviously implicitly trusted my dad as an inventor, you know. And I marched in and launched myself and probably sank, as you would expect.
All the tops probably.
Well, it just wasn't any buoyancy.
No.
So my dad, you know, hauled me out laughing a lot. But it's probably one of the reasons he just threw me in the water.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I think there was, Well, he'd been in the Navy and he assumed everybody should be able to swim. And that's why to this day I can't swim, because his idea of
teaching me
to swim was just turn down to West Bay and throw me in and bait into the waves.
I'm not sure he actually wanted me to come back.
Right.
he really can't swim now, still.
So he waded in and rescued you then, presumably.
Well, I just thought, it wasn't that deep there. I just sort of coughed and spluttered and came out, and that was it.
When we were on holiday many years ago with our friend Julie, we were in Greece, weren't we, in Skiathos?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And we'd gone out on a boat trip, and this boat took us into Skopelos, I think it was. And we had a drink at lunchtime, and then they came back and they said, oh, you know, you can... We're back on the boat, and they said, oh, you can, you know, anybody who wants to, you can swim ashore from the boat and then, you know, come back again. And I sort of thought, well, I looked at the distance, and I'd had a couple of drinks. I'm not a good swimmer at all, but I thought, I think I can just about make it from the boat to the shore.
So it was the alcohol talking.
That was the alcohol talking, which I did.
Which you did.
I was very proud of myself. Yeah. I thought, well, that's pretty good, that. Now, in the meantime, I had a little bit of rest there, but in that time, the boat sort of floated a little bit further away.
Mm.
And I started to swim back and got to a point of, you know, no return, where I was a bit too far out from the shore and I wasn't close enough to the boat. Mm. And I did start to panic.
You did, and really, I saw him. And he went on, he turned on his back, and I said to my friend Julie, Dave's in trouble, I can tell. And
she's a good swimmer.
She's a very good swimmer. And there was this lady, this little lady, she was 60 plus, and this is going back about 15 years ago, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And she was having, she'd got a rubber ring, and she was around the side of the boat, Julie jumped into the water and she said, "Excuse me," whipped her off her, and starts going towards Dave in the air.
At which point
so Dave was rescued and the woman died.
Well, basically, at which point one of the Greek crewmen had seen this, obviously,
and dived off
fantastic swimmer, and shot, came to me like a torpedo.
Yeah.
Right. Got to me, at least held me up, and then Julie got there with the ring.
Yeah.
And they put me in the ring.
Humiliating.
It was exceptionally humiliating.
And then they
pulled me back to the boat, and I was I was going down for the third time almost, and thinking, this is it. And sat on the boat, you know, recovering, while Julie absolutely peed herself laughing. She couldn't stop
laughing.
And
she can't tell that story now without going hysterical.
It could have been worse. I mean, she could have stolen the armbands off a kid. You got to you and had to blow them up and fit them over your arm.
This poor little old lady, and I know she was only 60, but she was like a little old lady. And she was topless
right in the water,
yeah. She
obviously didn't have buoyancy aids.
They just came off with the rubber ring.
Luckily, there was a rope attached to the boat, and the woman hung onto the rope.
Can we tell your story in Australia?
Yeah, we went out to the Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So on the boat, great trip out. It was a fairly cheap boat, wasn't it?
Very laid back.
Very laid back surfer duty type car.
Yeah. Literally
steering the wheel. The control wheel.
Yeah. Yeah, with a
feet. Anyway, we got out there and. And everybody was, you know, going, you went off in a glass-bottom boat, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
So what, look at things.
Mm-hmm.
But they convinced me. They said, I said that I'd love to do it, but I can't swim. Is there no problem? And they said, well, we'll give you a noodle.
Yes.
A dry suit. He said, well, you can't sink in that. And if you're worried, you need to have one of these noodles. And I said, okay, fine.
But also, our friend Carol was with us.
You had to buddy up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So our friend Carol was meant to be
Carol.
My buddy. Who's telling the story?
I should just explain here that Alan and Mandy have been married for about 95 years. They got married in primary school.
As the saying goes, they like to finish each other's sandwiches.
So anyway, Carol, we were buddied up, so you were supposed to look after each other, and Carol was supposed to be my buddy. But anyway, so this guy said, explain to me, you had the goggles on and you had the, you know, the breathing, you know, snorkel thing. And then he big flippers. And he explained to me, he said, right, okay, when you go out, he said, just flap those feathers and you'll shoot off. Well, I did shoot off. Carol got left behind.
Can we just add the most important thing? He actually had his snorkel on upside down. So every time he was breathing in
seawater.
So I was watching this. And Carol had shot off, having the most wonderful time. He was breathing seawater.
Going around in, and I think I had one new part of the noodle out too far one side, so I was going around in a bit of a circle.
So I had to say to this guy on the boat, could you go and get my husband? He's drowned.
It wasn't quite that bad, but I was getting a little bit panicky. So anyway, they threw a bat and said, grab hold of that and turn. And I thought, oh, that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't going to give up on me. And so what eventually said, look, we'll go out, we'll try again. You hold on to this life belt all the time. And so I eventually had basically a chauffeur-driven tour of the Barracuda, because this guy was with me all the time, and he'd dive down and show me this, that, or the other. And brilliant.
Fantastic.
And one-to-one.
It's
fabulous. Have you ever eventually learned to swim?
No.
Are you still can't
swim? I tried to teach him. We were in the south of France. A friend had a house with a pool, which is lovely.
Mm.
And it was just us there. And we did go in every day, and we did take a couple of noodles, didn't we? And he was very good, but it's the inner panic has never left him from that. And so
he just can't
relax enough to let go. And I don't think he'd ever have.
Well, me and Bugs Newbury spent.
He couldn't swim either.
No, we spent 2 years at the shallow end of that outside pool. Freezing our nuts off.
Yeah.
With Owen Johns yelling at us, get out of here!
I think that was the problem for me with learning to swim. We had the pool at school, didn't we? But it was cold. It was outdoor. Mm. It wasn't heated. And when you first went in it, it was like springtime, wasn't it? So, oh, it's warm enough now. We go there. Mm. And it was freezing cold. Mm. And like, I can remember just shivering in there and thinking, I can't do this. I can't do this. Yeah.
I do remember, though, it gave one of the girls in our class a nickname. Do you remember? We were standing at the end of the pool and she swam a length wearing swimming goggles and surfed it to the end.
Look,
a walrus. And she was always known as the walrus out there. We're not going to mention any names.
No names, no patrol on that one. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Was she the one who also shaved her whole body? Was that her?
What made you remember?
I think that might be another story altogether.
He's English.
No, that was the rumour. She had a very hairy lip.
But even then, how do you learn that she saved her whole body?
The sort of rumours that passed around the boarding house.
Okay, right. Well, yeah, it may have been a boarding house rumour. I don't think that worked for the rest of us.
No, never learned to swim after that.
That's a lot of swimming.
No, I'm not surprised, really.
Mm. No. So what do I take up as a hobby? Fishing.
Fishing, yeah, well, being able to swim might be helpful.
Yeah, falling in.
Not real. I've got my feet wet, but
I don't think he's going to admit it in front of me.
Got close to it going in boats at reservoirs, because you do that thing of stepping in and you're not sure. And then you start to do the splits, and then you have to make.
But you always have your noodle handy, don't you?
Always keeps his noodle handy.
I've been told not to handle my noodle in public.
Oh, he never goes swimming without my noodle.
He doesn't go shopping without his noodle. It's just any puddle.
In the sea, it's a very short noodle.
In the cold, it shrinks, doesn't it? Yeah.
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 I think
we've probably got enough there.
I think we'll leave it at your noodle, shall we?
I think you've probably got stuff there that you probably can't use.
No, it's all pure gold, I'm sure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.